بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. In the previous lessons we read and we went through the ayat from ayah number 21 to ayah number 25. And in the previous lesson, in these ayat, Allah begins by ordering and commanding all of mankind that they should worship Him. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O mankind, O people, worship your Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He used certain attributes of His, attributes of rububiyyah, of His lordship, as an evidence for worshipping Him. الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ, the one who has created you. وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, and He created those who came before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so you may have التَّقْوَى. And then again afterwards He mentioned the one who made the earth a bed for you, and the sky as a roof over you, and He sent water from the sky or the clouds, and He grows vegetation as a rizq for you. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, and so do not make partners for Allah. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, and you know. i.e. you know that Allah is the one who created you, and you know that He is the one who has created the earth and the skies and everything else. So do not ascribe partners to Him. And then after this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions both a threat and a glad tiding. He mentions the threat against those people who disbelieve, who reject or doubt the Quran. He said, فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ, so fear the fire, أَلَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةِ, whose fuel is people and the stones, أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ, it has been prepared for the people of kufr, the people of disbelief. And then He also mentioned a glad tiding. He said, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and give the glad tidings to those who have iman and those who do righteous actions. And then He mentioned the glad tidings of paradise and that which paradise contains. And we finished with this ayah. And in this lesson, bi-idhnillah, we are going to go through ayah number 26 and ayah number 27. And as usual, we'll recite together, inshallah. I'll recite and you recite after me. And then we'll go through some of the meanings and the tafsir, which Allah makes easy for us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Inna Allah la yastahyi. أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا وما يضل به إلا الفاسقين الذين ينقضون عهد الله من بعد ميثاقه ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويقطعون ما أمر الله به أن يوصل ويفسدون في الأرض أولئك هم الخاسرون
In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي Verily, Allah is not shy أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا That He should put forth an example or a parable مَا بَعُوضَةً فَمَا فَوْقَهَا Whether it is the example of a fly or anything less or greater than a fly. And a person might think that what is the relation of this ayah to the ayah which came before. In the previous ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave the glad tidings of Jannah, وَبَشِّرِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Then Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أَنْ يَضْرِبَ مَثَلًا Allah is not shy of giving an example or a parable, even if it is of a fly. And some of the Mufassirun, Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentions that this ayah, it goes back to the two examples which Allah gave previously regarding the munafiqun. When Allah said regarding the munafiqun, مَثَلُهُمْ كَمَثَلِ الَّذِي اسْتَوْقَدَ نَارًا That the example of the munafiqun is like the person who lit a fire. And then he said, or another example of the munafiqun is, أَوْ كَصَيِّبٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ Is like the example of a storm in which water is coming down from the clouds. And we explain the meanings of these ayat. So either this ayah goes back to those ayat, because when Allah revealed these examples and these parables of the munafiqeen, then the munafiqun would say, how is it that Allah in this book, He gives examples and parables? And some of the mufassirun said, it relates to other ayat in which Allah gave the example of a spider, Ankabut, Surah Al-Ankabut. Or He gave the example of a fly, a dhubab. And the mushrikun would say that how is it in this book, examples of flies and examples of spiders are given. And for this reason Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي Allah is not shy from giving a parable or an example, even if it is an example of a fly. And this is because examples and parables are used in order to explain the truth, or in a way of teaching. And therefore, when the believer sees or hears of an example or parable being given in the Quran, then upon him is to think and ponder, what does this parable mean? Like we mentioned regarding the previous examples and parables of the munafiqun. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ Verily, Allah is not shy of the truth. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would praise the women of the Ansar, the Ansari women of Medina, because shyness would never prevent them asking questions. In fact, sometimes in some of the hadith, a woman would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she would say to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Inna Allah la yastahi min al-haq. O Messenger of Allah, Allah is not shy of the truth. And then she would ask a question regarding menses or her periodic bleeding or other things like this. So when somebody needs to know something regarding Islam, then there should be no shyness in asking that question. And how many Muslims are ignorant regarding the basic matters of ghusl or janaba or liquids which are discharged from their body? And because of this shyness, they don't ask the person of knowledge. And Allah said, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Ask the people of remembrance if you do not know. He ordered us to ask. And shyness should not prevent a person asking a question. Or at the least, if there is any reason which prevents you asking a question, then you ask somebody else to ask that question on your behalf. Like Ali radiallahu anhu said, of course Ali radiallahu anhu was the cousin and also the son-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, "Kuntu rajulan madda'an." He said, "I was a man from whom there was a lot of discharge of pre-seminal fluid, al-madhi, some fluid which is discharged just before semen." And because of his relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being his son-in-law and his cousin, he was a bit shy to ask that question. So he said, فَأَمَرْتُ الْمِقْدَادَ أَنْ يَسْأَلْ. So I would ask Miqdad, another companion, to go ask on my behalf. The point is that the question which you have is answered. Whether it is you asking the question, or it is something you could write down, you could send a text message if you can't speak face to face, or at the least another person asks on your behalf, but shyness should never prevent a person asking a question. And if Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي, if Allah is not shy of the truth, and Allah is not shy of giving these parables and these examples of even a fly and a spider, then also we as Muslims, we should not be shy. And this ayah, it also teaches us that from the beneficial avenues of education is to give examples. So when you want to try to explain something, if the person doesn't understand the principle, then give an example. You say, for example, and then you bring that example to the level of the people so that the people can understand. For this reason, in many ayat in the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives the examples, He always gives them so that the people of that time can relate to them. So for example, in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, the first ayah in which Allah gave an example, He says, أَفَلَا يَنظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبِلْ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ. Do they not look at the camels and how they were created? Why did Allah give the example of the camels? Because those who were listening were Bedouin Arabs, and they understood the camels and the virtue of the camels and how much benefit there is in camels. And like this, the teacher as well. The Quran teaches us how to educate people. It teaches us how to teach other people. And one of the things that we benefit from this ayah and the other ayat is that giving examples, giving like a story to clarify something and making it relevant to the people, to your children, is a way in which we should educate them. And and then Allah says, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ. As for the people of Iman, when they hear these examples, when they hear these parables, even if it is regarding a spider or a fly or anything similar to this, then they know it is the truth from their Lord. And then Allah compared them with the kuffar. He said, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. As for the people of disbelief, then they say, فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا. What does Allah want from these examples and from these metaphors? And Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentions that some of the Salaf would say, إِذَا ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. If Allah gives an example or a parable in the Quran, وَلَمْ أَفْهَمْهُ, and I don't understand it, I don't understand the point behind this example, بَكَيْتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي, then I will start weeping. I will start crying that Allah is giving these examples and these parables for me to understand, and yet I'm not able to understand them. And then they would recite the ayah in which Allah says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالِ, these are the parables, نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ, we put them forward for the people, لا يعقلها إلا العالمون, and nobody understands them except the people of knowledge. So the Salaf, they would say that if an example or parable is given in the Quran, if a story is given in the Quran, and I don't understand the lesson behind this story or the lesson behind this parable, I would weep and cry, because Allah says we give these parables for the people, however only a few people understand these parables and these lessons. And then this was the Salaf regarding just a single parable which Allah gives. Compare that to our situation and the situation of many of the Muslims, except whom Allah has mercy upon, that pages and pages of the Quran pass by, and nobody even bothers, neither does it bother them that they understand or they don't understand from the Qur'an, from the tafsir. The imam will recite ayat and many ayat, and yet we will listen to the imam and we don't understand anything from the imam. This was something that would make the Salaf cry, and yet the Muslims today, except whom Allah's mercy upon, they don't care with this. And for this reason, the lessons of tafsir and the lessons of the Qur'an are more important. Allah says in this ayah, فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, as for the people of iman, فَيَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّهُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ, then they know that it is the truth from their Lord. Meaning, the people of iman, when a parable or an example or a story is given in the Qur'an, then they are divided into two groups of people. This is the people of iman. If they understand the parable and they understand the lesson, then this increases their iman. And if they don't understand the moral behind the parable, then at the least they know that this is the truth from our Lord. It never causes them to doubt, because Allah only gives these parables as a form of education and explanation for the people. So the obligation upon us is whenever we see a story or a parable, especially when Allah says mathal, and the meaning of mathal is like a parable or a story which Allah is going to give, or an example which Allah is going to give. The obligation is we try to think and ponder what is Allah telling us behind this example. And if we understand, then alhamdulillah, our iman and knowledge has increased. And if we don't understand, then at the least we have yaqeen and we are certain that it is al-haqq min rabbihim. It is the truth from their Lord. So there's no doubt which enters the heart of a Muslim. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, however, the people of kufr, the people of disbelief, the people of doubt, what do they say? مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثَلًا, what does Allah want by this example? So they are people who become more confused, or they reject the parables which Allah gives, and therefore their disbelief increases upon their disbelief. They are already disbelievers, they are already doubters, and now that Allah has given this example and this parable, they have even more disbelief and even more doubt. And we mentioned previously when we were going through the ayat how sometimes the punishment of a sin is Allah allows that person to do more sinning. And this is a punishment in of itself, that a person is sinning, and so Allah allows that person to continue sinning upon this dunya. And then death comes to the person, and then for him is the punishment of the akhirah. And the opposite is also true, that if a person does a good deed, then Allah rewards him in this dunya and the akhirah. And one of the rewards of this dunya is, when a person does good deed, Allah guides him to do more good deeds and do more good deeds. And like Allah said in the Quran, in the ayat which we studied previously, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا, in their hearts is a disease, so we increase them in their disease. Meaning they knew the truth and they rejected the truth, and therefore they developed the disease of kufr in their heart, so we allow them to increase in their disease which is in their hearts. And then Allah says, and in the hereafter is an even more severe punishment, also with doing good deeds. That a person who does a good deed, Allah rewards him by allowing him to do more good deeds. A person who is patient upon good deeds, then Allah rewards him by making other good deeds easy for him. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, as for the people of kufr, فَيَقُولُونَ مَاذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهَذَا مَثْلًا, they will say, what does Allah want from this example or this parable? Then Allah tells us about the Qur'an, that the Qur'an, for some people, it leads them towards guidance. And the same Qur'an, for other people, it can lead them towards misguidance. Those people who are sincere when they read the Qur'an, it will lead them towards guidance. And those people who are insincere whilst they recite the Qur'an, it can also lead them to misguidance. And for this reason, you see, the people of innovation, the people of shirk, they read the ayat in the Qur'an. وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, worship Allah alone and do not ascribe partners to Him. And yet, maybe they memorize these ayat, They've recited these ayat thousands of times in their hearts. They understand the meaning of these ayat, and yet they continue performing a shirk. So for some people, the Quran is a form of guidance. And for some people who have the disease in their heart, it can also be a form of misguidance. For this reason, Allah said in the very next ayah, He said, يُضِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. That he, many are misguided by it, and many others are guided by it. And here Allah is comparing between the mu'minun and the kafirun when the ayat are revealed. That when the ayat are revealed, if it comes upon the believers, yahdi bihi kathira, Allah increases them in their guidance. When these parables and these examples are given, the believer understands, the believer ponders, and it increases him in his guidance. And as for the kafirun, the people of kufr, then it only increases them in their misguidance. Yudillu bihi kathiran. Many people, when they recite these ayat, they are misguided. By this, a person also knows the virtue and the blessing of Allah upon you. That Allah has chosen you to be from those people whom when these ayat are revealed, it takes you towards guidance. And it increases you in your iman and increases you in your yaqeen. As opposed to those people who when the same ayat are revealed upon them, it takes them towards misguidance and it takes them towards more kufr. And then Allah says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. That nobody is misguided by these ayat and these parables except the people of al-fisq. So Allah now, He gives us the reason why some people are misguided when they recite these ayat and when they recite these parables and examples. And that is that they already have in their hearts fisq. And fisq, it has many meanings, and the author, Sheikh Abdurrahman ibn Nasir Sa'di rahimullah, he says, al-fisq naw'an. That al-fisq, and al-fisq is generally translated as being disobedience. But fisq, it is two types. There is the major fisq, al-fisq al-akbar, and then there is the minor fisq al-asghar. So the first fisq, it is the fisq which takes a person out of the fold of al-Islam. It is the fisq that makes a person a kafir. And they are the ones whom Allah is referring to in this ayah. That when the ayat come to them, they increase in their kufr. And the ones who are misguided by the Quran are those who already have the disease of kufr in their hearts. And then there is a lower level of fisq. And this is the fisq of sinning. Now for this reason, amongst the Muslims are those who are salih and those who are fasiq. Those who are righteous and obedient, and those who are disobedient. And every single person amongst us has a share of righteousness and also a portion, a share of fisq or of sinning. But this is al-fisq al-asghar. This is the minor form of fisq, i.e. sinning, and not the major form of fisq, which is al-kufr. May Allah protect us. So what is it that causes some people to be misguided by these ayat? It is the fisq which is already in their hearts. And for this reason you see that a kafir, a disbeliever, but who is sincere and he calls out to the Creator to be guided, he becomes guided. And this is because even though he was a kafir, but he had a sincerity in his heart in which he asked the Creator to be guided, and so Allah guides him. And yet at the same time you might have people who are Muslims and yet they are upon misguidance, and maybe they end up leaving the fold of al-Islam. And then Allah, He explains to us who are the fasiqun. He says, وَمَا يُضِلُّ بِهِ إِلَّا الْفَاسِقِينَ. That only the people of fisq are misguided by the parables that we said. He said, الَّذِينَ. They are the ones. And this is now تَفْسِيرُ الْقُرْآنِ بِالْقُرْآنِ. Allah is explaining the Qur'an with the Qur'an. So if a person asks you that in this ayah, what is the definition of al-fisq? Who are the fasiqun? Say, they are al-ladhina yanquduna ahdallah. You give the very next ayah, because the second ayah, it is like an explanation of the first ayah. So who are the people of fisq who Allah refers to in this ayah? They are al-ladhina yanquduna ahdallah. They are those people who break the covenant, or they break the promise or the contract which they have with Allah. مِن بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ, after it has been set forth. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ, and they are those people who break that which Allah has ordered to be joined. They break that which Allah has ordered to be joined. الَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ أَهْدَ اللَّهِ مِن بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ, they are those people who break the contract after Allah has set the contract. And this ayah, it is general to all types of contracts and promises. Meaning, there are those people who break the contract between them and between Allah. Allah ordered them to worship Him alone and to be upon At-Tawheed. They don't worship Allah, or they go into shirk. They are breaking the contract which is between them and between Allah. Or it also refers to those people who break the contracts between each other. Allah told us that once we make promises and once we make contracts between each other, we should fulfill these contracts. Those people who break these contracts also enter into this ayah. And then Allah says, وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ, and they break that which Allah has ordered to be connected. And again, this contains in it many different types of people. Allah ordered us with iman, and to connect ourselves with Allah with iman, those people who break this connection enter into this ayah. Allah ordered us with silatul rahim, and sila means connection. Ar-Rahim, i.e. your family, your ties of kinship and your relatives, Allah ordered them to be kept and connected. Those people who break the ties of kinship also enter into this ayah. And Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he mentions that the meaning of وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلْ, the meaning of those who break that which Allah has ordered to be connected, are those people who break the ties of kinship. Because Allah ordered us to keep the ties of kinship between parents and brothers and sisters and uncles and family and so on and so forth, and tribes. Those people who break the ties of kinship enter into this ayah, and Allah calls them fasiqun. They are people of al-fisq. And so the believers, they fulfill the contract which is between them and Allah. And the believers, they connect everything which Allah has ordered to be connected. As for the disbelievers, then they break the covenant which is between them and Allah. And also they break that which Allah has ordered to be connected. And then Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they are the ones who are the khasirun. And the meaning of khasirun, they are the ones who are in loss, and they are the ones who are in destruction. They are in loss in this dunya, and they are also in loss in the akhirah. And also al-khasara, loss and destruction, it is two types. There is al-khasarat al-kubra, there is the major loss and the major destruction, and that is the loss and the destruction of the akhirah. And this is for the kuffar, because the people of iman, they may go through some hardship now. They may face some khasara, some loss, but the eventual goodness is for them, or the eventual profit and ribh is for them. So khasara is two types: the great khasara, and this is for the kuffar in the akhirah, and the lesser form of khasara, the lesser form of loss, and this every person goes through. In this life, a Muslim and a kafir, we go through some times of happiness, sometimes of sadness, sometimes of gain, sometimes of loss. However, the Muslim, even his khasara in this dunya is actually goodness for him in the hereafter. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma min mu'minin," that there is no believer who is pricked by a shoka, who is pricked by a thorn, except that Allah removes a sin from his bad deeds or from the akhirah. So the khasara of a believer, the small loss of a believer in this dunya, is still goodness and profit for him in the akhirah. For this reason, the Prophet ﷺ said, one day he was sitting with his companions and he started laughing. All of a sudden the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he started laughing. And then he said to the companions, أَلَا تَسْأَلُونَ مِمَّا أَضْحَكُ. Why don't you ask me why I am laughing? So then the companion said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, لِمَا تَضْحَكُ. O Messenger of Allah, why are you laughing? Why are you smiling? And the Prophet said, عَجِبْتُ لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. I am laughing, I am smiling, because I am amazed by the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. Because all of his affair is always goodness. If some goodness comes to him, some blessing comes to him, شَكَرَ اللَّهُ وَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهُ. If some goodness comes to him, and then he thanks Allah, and this is goodness for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ الضَّرَّى. And if some harm comes to him, if some calamity comes to him, صَبَرَ. He's patient. وَكَانَ خَيْرَ اللَّهُ. And it's also goodness for him. وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is only for the believer. So any loss, any calamity, any affliction in your health, in your wealth, in your children, in your property, in your business, any khasara which a believer faces, if he reacts to it with sabr, with being patient and showing shukr to Allah, then the hereafter it is goodness for him. And for this reason Allah said in this ayah, أُولَٰئِكَ they, i.e. the kuffar and the munafiqun, هُمْ الْخَاسِرُونَ. They are the ones who are the losers. And there's a difference between saying أُولَٰئِكَ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they are losers, and saying أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْخَاسِرُونَ. They are the ones who are the losers. And that is that when this extra word in this ayah, هُمْ, is increased, it lies saying that they are the ones who are the true real losers and not the believers. Because the believers also go through al-khasara, but أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْخَاسِرُونَ, they, the kuffar and the munafiqun, they are the true losers and the ones who are in destruction and loss. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.